Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. I just did it out of order. It's the first time in like 250 episodes. I am dyslexic, so this is not confusing to anybody. End of the season episode. Had to sit on this game for about 2 days here, kind of collect my thoughts on what being the Patriots meant. Did it mean anything? What's it mean for draft stock? Wanted to wait until we got the Jets draft pick situation sorted out. And their, 2024 schedule. Brad Spielberger, last weekly spot of the year. Obviously, Brad will be on throughout the offseason to talk contracts, draft, et cetera. Brad, how we doing? Obviously, this morning, Luke Getsy fired for the Bears. We're just talking a little bit about it. The Jets have yet to fire anybody on the staff. It looks like everyone's returning. So a little different scenarios in Chicago and New York, even though they probably should be the same.
Yeah, future New York Jets passing game coordinator Luke Getsy fired by the Chicago Bears. I make that joke. He was with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay for a long period of time. When the Bears hired him, Rodgers could not have been more, effusive with his praise of what Getsy did for him and how much he enjoyed playing with him. I also, just real quick, kind of a random tangent, but he is not from the Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur tree, which everyone's going to say is the case. He's from like an RPO-based Joe Moorhead. They ran like an inside zone gap scheme in Chicago. So I say it just to say, like, it actually could be a fresh voice and a different perspective. And so maybe it does make sense in New York. But hey, I'm feeling great because thank you to the New York Jets, because now the Bears are picking ninth and the Jets are picking 10th. It's a beautiful thing.
I want to get into the Jets Patriots game real quick. One thing happened overnight last night that I want to tackle a little bit. I've talked a lot about Keith Carter being the really easy scapegoat for this offensive staff. You were never going to fire Hackett. Likely not going to fire most of the guys, the Embrys of the world, and things of that nature. The two names that, or three names really, that I felt like were easy around the margin scapegoats were Rob Calabrese, who got kind of demoted. He's been the quarterback coach here for 3 years. I'm not asking for people to get fired. I'm not in that business. That's not what I'm about, but the quarterback play has been horrendous and Zach Wilson was what he was. And Calabrese is the quarterback coach. Todd Downing had some decent moments, probably his best game of the year last year in Green Bay with Tennessee, then gets fired for a DUI immediately after the game, is brought in. It didn't work. Helped Hackett in the booth. The offense went from 32nd to 26th over the last month. But again, what are we doing here? And lastly, at least Keith Carter in Tennessee. Taylor Lewan was pretty outspoken this offseason about everyone on that staff being – he loved, but Keith Carter worked them into the dirt, and a lot of these veterans felt like they went into game weeks not fresh. Camp, they felt like they got worn down. A lot of injuries in Tennessee on the offensive line. We saw that again this year with the Jets, 13 or 14 combinations in 17 weeks. I say all that because while I said the Jets should hire Ken Dorsey and Mike Munchak, it would make them a lot better on the offensive side of the ball. Their moves around the margins, casual fans not going to give a shit, but it'll be a great thing if you draft a fourth-round quarterback and a first-round tackle, right? Reese Hall, Taylor Lewan post yesterday. Mike Vrabel was fired, mutually parted ways. That's bullshit. He was fired because the GM never wanted him there and Vrabel never wanted the GM there. Anyways, Taylor Lewan post, shout out to everyone that was on that staff my time in Tennessee, except Keith Carter. Now, that wouldn't matter had Mekhi Becton not commented on it. That second paragraph is all facts. And then Breece Hall commented after hanging out with all offensive linemen at the Islanders game last night, crying emojis. Not only have they not taken it down, Becton then retweeted it and posted another thing about it. What do you make of all this? And is there a chance that the pressure from the players and honestly the fan base could have Woody act maybe emotionally and say, you have to fire this guy?
I'll first speak to like what specifically is the complaint, obviously, from a Luan. Look, players, if they say that, especially a guy like Taylor, who I think probably liked being coached hard. He's a Michigan guy, comes to the NFL. He obviously presents as like a, you know, but like cocky, abrasive, but like, yeah, like that's his style. Like we're gonna practice hard. We're going to get the pads on, all that stuff. If he's even going so far as to say that, obviously injuries basically prematurely ended his career. It's always a tough one. It's interesting because, look, the teams that have most recently been fined or lost practice days because of doing too much in the offseason are the Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers. Like, there are coaches that do this that, again, I'm not advocating for it, nor am I saying it's why they're successful, but the 2-1 seeds that are, you know, smash mouth every year, that are physical, that are ready to tackle in week one as opposed to in week four like a handful of other teams – are these coaching staffs. And obviously, you know, Saleh tied back to San Fran. So it does kind of go both ways. But, you know, in today's NFL, especially with guys that are, you know, what, 25 and under, like a Breece Hall and a Mekhi Becton, that's probably not the style they're looking for. And obviously, like you said, the Jets O-line was decimated with injury. There is no question about that. I mean, you can't say it's nothing. When players are openly, you know, doing stuff like that, they're not deleting it, like you said. And instead, they're actually doubling down on it and kind of proudly putting it out there. Yeah, you have to give feedback. Look, we just talked about Luke Getsy to open the show. You go into the locker room after the last game, and DJ Moore basically says the offensive game plan sucked. Like, he didn't say that, but he did.
Garrett Wilson said the same. That was one of the other funny quotes this week was, we don't make any adjustments. The offense will be fixed because Aaron Rodgers will call the plays. I was like, whoa, okay.
There you go. Yeah, the adjustments comment was the same with DJ Moore, and then he was like, "Are we need to figure out what our identity is? Are we trying to be like a run the ball, control the clock team, or are we trying to be an explosive team, but we got to pick a lane?" It was like, it's week 18, so like clearly you're advocating for 2024. But anyway, so yeah, it does matter. You can't sit here and say it doesn't, and coaches will take that into consideration. Same time, like, is Mekhi going to be back? Would the Jets probably say, yeah, you know what? We'll take it under advisement, but we think you would have probably gotten hurt less if you weren't 50 pounds overweight. So, yeah, and again, I'm not saying that's what I'm saying, but maybe they feel that way. So you got to take everyone's thoughts into consideration. It does mean something, but they're not guaranteed to get him fired. Breece saying it probably matters more just because Breece is like the face of the franchise right now.
Yeah, and mention Adam Pankey was on the Jets practice squad earlier this year, liking tweets about how Keith Carter sucks. It's been like four or five players now, and then former players and current players. It's just an easy fix. Like, I Mike Munchak wants to coach again. He's probably a top three offensive line coach the second he walks in the building in the league. You're not getting Skarnecki to come back out of retirement, and Munchak's willing to do it. That'll be interesting there. Wink Martindale was mutually parted ways with the Giants as we're recording this. That'll be interesting when he goes to Philly and dunks on Dable for next year, or goes to Seattle, or there's a couple of different mentions there. I want to hit on this Jets-Patriots game. The streak's over. I'm very excited about that from perspective of, we don't have to talk about it anymore, because not only did they win, they won in New England. They had not won in New England in over 5,500 days in the regular season. I was 14 years old the last time the Jets won in New England. I am turning 30 and I'm married and have a house. So that's been a long time since the Jets have done that. For perspective, Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall were 6 years old the last time the Jets won in New England in the regular season. That's over. They kicked the shit out of the Patriots on both sides of the line. The line played well. Breece Hall was amazing. That's really the story there. Ashton Davis flashed. Tony Adams had a nice game. Michael Carter, Sauce, et cetera. Horrible weather. Again, any game with Trevor Siemian playing, it's hard to take seriously. The Jets were eliminated. Whatever. You can make all those arguments you want. There was some nice things. The Jets obviously had a chance based on results. They could have picked sixth. They are now picking 10th. What do you make of Sunday? Did the Jets mess up by winning? Is it a good thing they won? Like, where do you land on this? I know we talked about it a little bit on Thursday show, I believe, but I figured we'd kind of hit on it now in hindsight, where some results did break the Jets' way, obviously, with the Giants winning and things like that.
Yeah. So also, sorry, I was just making a face to people. Pete Carroll just got fired, bro. So Pete Carroll is out as the Seattle Seahawks head coach.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I'm over here making faces at the kids.
I thought you were talking about Wink while I was talking. Whoa. No. Dan Quinn expected to replace Pete Carroll.
Oh, wait, who said that?
Rap would be quickly considered a strong candidate to replace him, which means This is the same thing with Vrabel. It's pretty clear that the replacements lined up, and this is interesting. Wow, that's Dan Quinn here. Yeah, wow. So Jets beating the Patriots. What do we make of it?
Yeah, no, so we talked about it. I'm not going to change my stance. Like, yeah, you could have had an earlier pick. I get it. There are going to be some players we fall in love with, but, I made the joke about the Bears and all that, but no. The difference between whatever, we said 8 to 15, whatever the range there was, it shouldn't matter. If Joe is hell-bent on moving up a little bit, you know, he can find a way to do that. But I think realistically, you are still looking at a really good wide receiver, a really good offensive tackle, potentially in your slot. And I think that that's still at their disposal. So, yeah, no, I think why not beat the Patriots? Get that monkey off your back. It carries forward. You know, the first game against the Pats next year, you can't have guys barking that you haven't beat them since, you know, like you said, since they were in high school or junior high. It just – I think, look, we're talking about some of the bad vibes and some of the coaching, you know, pushback and all that. 7-10, coming off a win to close the year. Breece Hall has 34 carries and goes nuclear. It was an ugly game, like you said. You know, snow coming down hard, all those things. But, no, I'm all for it. Beating your division rival who has been sunning you for a decade is never a bad thing.
Yeah, and look, now the Jets are in a spot where Bill Belichick's last game ever for the Patriots likely will be having his least yardage in a game. In any game for the Patriots will be against the Jets, and the Jets loss. And I know people don't care about that, and I get it. But it's crazy. They said 7-10, 7-10 potential openings, I believe. Peter Schrager mentioned on Good Morning Football about 6 weeks ago, and we already are up to 7. Patriots will likely be 8.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm of the opinion Bill ends up in Atlanta and gets full control there. Just based on that situation, I think Chargers is Harbaugh. Washington, I think they'll hire McDonald from Baltimore. I'm trying to think who else is open. There's a bunch of other ones open. But I want to just hit on two or three things quickly, and then me and you will do a bigger deep dive once we get closer to free agency and we actually can – it's. I don't want to go in deep dive too much into the free agency class and what the Jets could add because, honestly, no idea who's going to be available and who won't. We've talked about Bryce a million times. And it's still going to get talked about. It's become more of a tough conversation now because he not only was good analytically and, you know, statistically, like put up 10.5 sacks, the most sacks a Jets edge rusher's had since 2005. Funny enough, after that season, the Jets traded John Abraham. They did draft Nick Mangold, but have been looking for an edge rusher ever since. Gut feeling, January 10th. Thankfully, I don't have to say January 6th, so we don't have to have that discussion. What happens with Bryce and how much does his price change based on the actual number of sacks? Because I talked to a few people around the league over the last month and they said like him getting to 10 sacks, some GMs will look at that and say, this matters more. I'm willing to pay him more money now. Is that something you were kind of on the same page with as well?
So not just that number, but it does matter. You know, I think it's funny. We look at things like that and be like 9.5 versus 10. If that's really like meaningful.
So arbitrary. Right. Breece had 900 yards, not 1,000. Doesn't mean his season wasn't good.
Right. Exactly. But, you know, it's funny, though. At the same time, when we like maybe mock teams for that, really the funny thing is that in their mind, obviously, you know, we're talking to educated fans that listen to your show. They obviously want to be high level fans. Average fans. Yeah. They say, oh, we signed this guy. He's a 10 sack guy. He's a double digit sack guy. Like, it gives you good optics. You can put these buzzwords out there and a bunch, you can immediately get benefit of the doubt because of these, you know, these arbitrary thresholds. So, but also not only that, so you and I talked about it. My original projection, here's a little scoop. My original projection for him, which was through week 14, was 3 years, 40. I mentioned how it probably could go up and obviously that I was coming even lower than I expected. Just even adding in the last month of data, that number is now 3 years, 50, and that still might even be low. So we're talking about going from 13.3 a year up to 16.6 a year, and I think maybe it gets even higher I'm, of course, waiting for, you know, potential franchise tags for some edges ahead of him. If he becomes the big name on the market, the number will only get stronger. But, yeah, he finished out the season playing. He was around, like, low 20s, and then he played high 20s snaps, so he was getting some more early down snaps. He was still extraordinarily productive, one of the highest pass rush win rates we've ever charted. Yeah, he's going to get a bag. You know, it just depends if it's a medium-sized bag or a duffel bag. But he's going to get paid a lot of money, and I don't really know why the Jets didn't push harder to be the team to give it to him.
Yeah, I think three for 50, three for 55, backloaded deal with a majority of it guaranteed. I mean, like 25, 30 guaranteed, and like throw a huge bonus in there. They're a huge initial signing bonus that kind of gives him a cap hit of $3 million bucks like they did with Lazard and these other guys, I think, is the move. What would a tag in trade look like? We'll do that. And one more thing before you, Pete Carroll is apparently potentially staying on it as an advisor. Not official yet, but looks like that could potentially happen. And Dan Quinn looks like he is in line to go replace him. It would have been funny would have been funny just to see what would have happened if Pete hits the open market. Him and Salah know each other well. You know, where Pete all started for Pete. Does he bring him home? Obviously, very unrealistic. But yeah, in terms of a tag and trade, that's the other option you hear a lot of folks mention. What does that look like? Obviously, last year we saw with Lamar the tag where two first round picks and you can negotiate. The Ravens can match. How does that kind of work?
Yeah, so, you know, at the outset, you put the tag on the player. I assume he'd be a defensive end, not a linebacker. It doesn't really matter. It'd be around $20 million, and you have to have that entire amount in cap space to be able to carry on your books, which, as we've talked about, they can do that if they want to. But I will say, in that instance, slapping a $20 million, you know, number would make it harder to do business. They could still do business, but maybe in theory you were only going to restructure a couple deals. If you're going to add a $20 million placeholder, and again, if you get an extension done, obviously you drop that number way, way down, but you have to carry it for the time being. So that is the first consideration. The keys for that is, A, you know, this was something that's in the CBA that I think fans learned about from the Davante Adams situation. You cannot trade for players for a franchise tag trade. It can only be for draft picks. The Packers did try to get Darren Waller in the Davante Adams trade, and the league was like, nope, read the CBA, you can't do that. So maybe the bylaws, wherever it is. But so it has to be for picks only. So any hypothetical, oh, we're going to tag Bryce Huff and then trade him to the Raiders to get Davante Adams. Nope, can't do it. I think there would be a market still, right? I don't know if you're getting like a first round pick.
And it's going to say like pick at that point.
Yeah, right. And say, because we're already going to have to pay this guy. As we talked about, you mentioned, alluded to, you know, Jamal Adams trade, for example. When a player gets traded for top end capital, and again, not two first, but still second round pick, they have leverage in an extension talk after that because you already invested in them. The leverage is all on their side. So, yeah, a team would say, all right, well, we know we have to give them a big old deal, so we're not going to pay you a ton in draft capital compensation. Basically, we're going to beat the compensatory pick that you would get had you let him walk in free agency, and that would be a third-round compensatory pick. You know, based on my projection right now, like we just talked about, he'd be at a third-round compensatory level, and I do expect that to be the case. So if you call him and say, hey, Jets, you're either going to pick 98 from the compensatory system, or we'll send you 60, you know, to get Bryce Huff. And that's pretty much how that would go.
All right, yeah, that makes a ton of sense. I the Jets letting him walk for nothing would just be 25-year-old ascending pass rushers homegrown. Would be interesting. Last kind of question here. We obviously go into the offseason. We kind of mentioned some of the coaching changes, things around the league kind of going on. Do you expect – like, how aggressive do you expect the Jets to be? I know on the surface, people would say, oh, they're going to be so aggressive. Sure. But, like, do you actually expect them to be aggressive, I guess, going to the offseason? It's a two-year window here. Rodgers has hinted at three. He's also hinted at a lot of stuff. If anyone caught that one, he's hinted at things. I guess never explicitly said it. But, you know, what? How aggressive are they going to be draft, trade, free agency-wise, in your opinion? Like, I feel like this is – Joe Douglas is going to burn a million 2026 and 2025 picks alive in order to make the team awesome this year. Cause otherwise they're all gone. Roger said it as much, by the way, great to him. I know everyone takes a lot of the quotes of vaccines and all these different things. And you believe he's right or wrong. It doesn't really matter. I quite frankly don't give a shit on anyone's like Rodgers, he's right or wrong, like, believe what you want, it's your own opinion. He did say there's a lot of pressure and we have to win or we're all gone. Like, he said it about himself as well, which no one caught that. He literally said, if I don't play well, I'm gone, which was interesting, but alas. But
I guess the third year in his mind, like, gone is probably the wrong, you know, but maybe they say, hey, you know what, like, we're going to try to just get young, go a different direction, or we're going to draft somebody and, like, you're still a starter, but we're going to kind of transition and not do what I'm about to say, which is for next year. Yeah, they're going to go all in. They are going to leverage future draft capital. You look at what happened with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. You look at what the Rams did when they got Matthew Stafford on board. You look even this year, a little bit different, but like the Eagles, it wasn't quarterback, but Jason Kelce, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, like all these dudes, probably potentially their last season, honestly, even Lane Johnson, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I think you are going to see, even if it's at the margins, and, you know, it's more of kind of like Chuck Clark type trades, for example, not to bring up obviously a deal that kind of fell through because of injury, but like just leaving no spot on the roster unsolidified, whether it's a starter or depth, and just not like dancing around, hey, we hope this guy develops, and if he doesn't, we'll figure it out. Like, no, like, we're just going to come into the year with an established plan, and yeah, they'll also take some big swings too. They're going to be in the Davante Adams sweepstakes, I'm sure. Among other receivers, if they have interest in other guys that potentially come available. But yeah, no, we've been consistent on that one. There just isn't really a point in going half in once you make the big splash. This is the window. Because here's the last piece. Like, it actually lines up pretty nicely with, okay, you do the 2-year Rodgers, even 3 hypothetically. Then it's like, okay, when those deals are coming off the books, we're paying Sauce, we're paying Garrett, we're paying Jermaine, we're paying et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right. Right, and you pivot back to the rookie quarterback structure. Yep.
All right, that makes a ton of sense. Last biggest news of the day, not actually, this is obviously joking, but Jamal Adams, after all the crap that, I will put it that way, that has gone on this year, and between him and the Jets the last couple of years, most recent like tweet, I'll say if the Seahawks cut Jamal Adams, the Jets should look at him and take him back this offseason. I'm going to leave that there. I will just say it would be untenable unless he's had a total. I'm not sure if Jamal Adams and good old Marcus Stroman being on my two favorite teams again would be ideal. I'll leave it at that. But obviously, again, I'll have a fuller kind of deep dive preview. I have an article coming out this weekend as well. Some news with Badlands to share on kind of some of the little tweaks we're going to do the podcast, kind of spice things up a little bit. Nothing. This pod's not going anywhere. Just adding actually to it. But yeah, obviously, Brad, appreciate your time all season. Again, Brad will be on anytime there's big stuff to talk about. And then once the free agency class, once I guess it's whatever, it's March 1st or March 4th, whatever it is, that week in between before tampering period, tampering period that gets tampered with the entire combine. We will have Brad on and we'll talk a little bit about what the Jets can really do, what they can't do, who's available, who's not. I would say I'll leave off with the Jets' first 3 things they need to do this offseason, besides in-house stuff: sign a veteran backup quarterback the first 20 minutes of free agency, whether it's Brissett, Minshew, Tannehill, whoever it is. See if you're legitimately getting Devontae, and if you're not, quickly pivot. And lastly, figure out exactly what you're doing at offensive line. How many guys do you truly think you can get solved in free agency and the draft and trades, and take care of it quickly? Like, sorry, if I've said this a million times, if the Jets suck in 2026 but win a Super Bowl or get the conference title games the next 2 years, I'll be okay. No stone unturned. Get that stuff straightened out, because I don't want to hear about Davante Adams trade things dragging on into June. Like, I'm good. I'm good on Joe Douglas getting Mayo dumped on him at a Boomer Esiason thing and talking about Davante Adams is coming. I don't want to hear it this year. Get it done or don't. Make up your mind. Is that a fair end to this?
Rant to end it. Beautiful, beautiful rant to end it. And I would just say, this is being mean, but fans, and it applies to myself as well, if you're going to be like, oh, if we go all in, it's going to cost us 2026, you are not going all in and winning 4 games a year all the time. So I don't see, with all due respect. but yeah, I agree. Joey D, stop pussyfooting around. Get some deals done right in March 15th. Let's make some shit happen.
Yeah, let's have that, see that Jets Super Bowl odds go to fifth. We'll go from there. Appreciate everybody for listening all season. Now it's time to shine here in the off season. No better place to get some Jets content here on TOJ and Badlands. Appreciate everybody for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week.